News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Time now, 3:24 p.m. Ran a little long with Connie Rose, so we will wind up taking another break here pretty quickly. But it was important. I wanted to make sure I got her a chance to speak from her own experiences and to provide some input, because obviously she has been checking into the situation, I'm sure, on behalf of the Lieutenant Governor's office as to what happened. So here's a story if you haven't heard it all. And I would bet that everybody in this listening audience, if you have a cell phone or a TV, you got the blue alert the other night. Bibb County, according to 1819news.com, story that came out yesterday. Bibb County Deputy Sheriff Brad Johnson died at University Hospital in Birmingham on Thursday afternoon. Investigators said Johnson was shot on Wednesday by repeat felon Austin Patrick Hall while the deputy was investigating a stolen car. You heard Connie Rowe talking about it a moment ago. He ran the tag, found that it was a stolen vehicle, stopped the car, and was shot twice. Apparently, they were two headshots. There wasn't a vest he could wear that would stop that. Governor Ivey issued a statement saying, "Today, all of Alabama grieves the loss of one of our heroes in blue, Bibb County Deputy Brad Johnson. Only 32 years old, he served in law enforcement for several years and was engaged to be married. He'll be remembered as a hero." He leaves behind two young daughters, by the way. Bibb County Sheriff's Deputy Chris Poole was also shot at the scene, but his injuries were not life-threatening, and he has been now released from the hospital. Deputy Johnson's family has said that they are going to be donating his organs. Attorney General Steve Marshall has chimed in and said, "Shooting suspect Austin Patrick Hall was a convicted felon with a lengthy record of violent offenses. He was captured after an approximate 16-hour manhunt at which his office assisted in. He said, my office is closely scrutinizing the policies that allowed for a violent offender like Hall to walk free. The justice system failed these officers, and I will do everything in my power to ensure it doesn't happen again." Keep in mind, the Attorney General was a prosecutor for many years. Well, I'm looking right now at a trend. FoxNews.com reporting July 1st, today. Kentucky officers wounded in a deadly shooting, suspect in custody. That was several Kentucky police officers shot in a small town called Allen, Kentucky, when they were trying to serve a warrant, came under fire from a suspect who then barricaded himself in before finally being arrested. Fox News also reporting as of 2 days ago, Tennessee man on the run after allegedly shooting a police officer, dead after the shootout with Kentucky police. So a Tennessee man who did shoot a police officer after a midnight car chase near Louisville, Kentucky, was eventually detained. There was an exchange of gunfire. The criminal is now deceased. But I got to tell you, folks, when we get back from this break here in a few minutes, I want to make sure that I'm going to tell a story about something that happened in Rainbow City, Alabama, 25 years ago this week. But I can distinctly remember, oh, and by the way, I'm also tell you, these deputies, these young police officers, I'm going to give you the clear indication of how little they make for what they do. And I just want to encourage you, as you think about what they do and the fact that if you dial 911, you're going to get a response. As you think about the fact that at 2 in the morning, there might be a domestic disturbance call, which is supposedly one of the most distressing calls you can get as a law enforcement officer, is just domestic violence, because those get crazy and they get crazy quick. You might get a domestic violence call at 2 in the morning while you're a sheriff's deputy roaming the backwoods or the back roads of a county and have to respond to it all by yourself, 20 minutes away from anybody else. And how much do they get paid? I'll tell you that in a few minutes. At the same time, take a look at the fact that every single day, though, they go ahead and they suit up. And they put on the vest and they go to roll call. And they go out and do the job. And then we have leaders, so-called leaders, in our own state even, that are calling for things like defunding the police or kneeling down with BLM, or making policies like Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin that are designed to do nothing but make police less safe and criminals more safe. Things like no-knock warrants are now disallowed, and you can't use flashbang grenades if you're having to enter into a facility not knowing whether you have a shooter on the far side of the door. Well, I'm going to tell you about one of those in a minute, where a flashbang might have been a great thing to have. Back to blue. That's my sentiments. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, I'm in a segment right now I call Back the Blue, and I want to give you guys some indications of some of the stats out there that our men and women who serve in law enforcement are sustaining right now. Now, by the way, I know I'm talking to a sympathetic audience by and large, all right? I know this audience, and I know that a bunch of right-side ruffians out there are not the ones who are opposed to the police or calling for defunding the police. But however, I think as we work through the whole thing about, you know, knowing how to have those water cooler conversations, when you do hit up with one person who says, well, I don't know. I mean, law enforcement, I don't know that we need to fund them. Well, let me tell you some stats. Let's talk about some of the things that happen with our men and women in blue. I'm looking at stats right now. The FBI releases statistics for law enforcement officers who were assaulted or killed in the line of duty, right? I'm looking at stats right now, which are slightly outdated, just so you know. These are the stats that were compiled as of October of 2021. We don't have them in yet for 2022. As of October of 2021, just in that year alone, from January through September of 2021, we had a 51% increase in the number of police officers killed in the line of duty over the previous year. 59 police officers were killed in the line of duty from January through September of 2021. 59. 60,105 police officers were assaulted in the year 2020, of which 18,000 of those sustained injuries that had to be treated. 44,000 officers were assaulted with personal weapons. 25% of those were injured. 2,744 officers were assaulted with firearms. 6% of those officers were injured. 1,180 officers were assaulted with knives or other cutting instruments. 9.7% of those officers were injured. And the remaining 11,760 officers who were assaulted with other types of dangerous weapons, 16.8% of those officers were injured. Now, it goes on, it talks about it, breaks it down by state. In a few states, it was more prolific than others. But I'm just telling you, those stats are significant, and those stats represent a significant increase. A 51% increase in the number of officers killed in the line of duty in 2021 is a big deal. And I look at the level of unrest, I look at the leadership calling for the defunding and the devaluing, if you will, of law enforcement. And I look at the fact that liberal policies like some of those enacted in Birmingham and other places have made life more difficult. Let me just tell you something. In the middle of all of that, do you know what an average deputy sheriff makes in the state of Alabama? In the state of Alabama, what did a young man like Brad Johnson, who just lost his life this week, what did he make for a living? How much did he make to be out there in the middle of nowhere in the backside of a county running a tag and finding out that it's stolen only to have a convicted violent felon shoot him twice in the head? What was he getting paid? The average salary for a deputy sheriff in Alabama is $47,000 a year. $47,000 a year. On the average, they probably make less than a second or third year teacher. I would say they probably make less than the average early to mid-level troop in the military. They have very common benefits. Some don't have any benefits. So the average salary of a deputy is $47,000. The average salary of a police officer is commensurate, roughly $52,000. Police officers being municipal, sheriff's deputies being county government. But you're looking at $52,000 a year for a police officer, $47,000 a year for a deputy sheriff. the risk is increasing on a regular basis. Household income, though, let me tell you, they make their salary right now. The median annual household income in Alabama is just over $52,000. So a sheriff's deputy, now that's a household income. So if they have two incomes, okay. If you have, let's say you have a young sheriff's deputy and he or she is making that $47,000 and they have a spouse with another income of, you know, $40,000, they're making a combined decent wage. But the median household income right now is $52,000. They are working below the median household income if they are a single parent or a single income family. That's tough when you think about it. When you think about what they do, that is tough stuff. And they go through a lot to get trained. It's not like they just walk on the job. If they're going to be APOST certified, and APOST certified is the Alabama Peace Officer Standards and Training Commission, then they're actually going to go to the Law Enforcement Academy. The Law Enforcement Academy, I'm looking at it right now, typically conducted, I believe, by Jacksonville State University. 560 hours of training over a 14-week period. And in doing that, they have all kinds of standards they have to meet. I mean, they have to be able to meet the entry-level standards. They have physical ability and physical agility exams they have to go through. They have psychological evaluations they have to go through. And there are graduation requirements. And they have to pass 70% or better on all of their written exams while they're there. First aid exams while they're there, legal issues exams while they're there, physical agility and ability tests. They have to pass safe gun and handling skills tests. They have to be able to do any number of things that the average person doesn't or can't do. And they get paid $47,000 a year to risk their lives every day. And I'll tell you, most of them love what they do. Most of the men and women in uniform don't do it because of the pay. They don't. Most of the men and women in uniform, because I've seen it in the military, they don't do it because of the pay. They do it because of the sense of mission. They do it because of the calling. They do it because of those times when they know they've made a difference. They live for the moments when they actually do something that takes a violent offender off the streets or saves a victim from further harm. They do it because there's times when they know they've made their community a better place. And they do it because they love the sense of being a part of something that's tougher than the average job. But it is not a get-rich-quick scheme, and it is a dangerous place. Tuscaloosa News was the best source I could find to help me with a story that I recall from 1997. Rainbow City, Alabama, where Charlene and I lived for 24 years. Rainbow City, Alabama, over in Etowah County. Rainbow City, Alabama, just like its name. Rainbow City, Alabama, by the way, named after the Rainbow Division of World War I. Rainbow City, Alabama is a beautiful place. Just off the Coosa River. Mountains. Great people. And 25 years ago this year, Captain Chris McCurley and two others went over to serve a warrant against a guy named Ezra George Peterson. They expected no issues. There was no known problem with this guy, Peterson. But when they got there to serve the warrant, Peterson saw him coming up the driveway. He put on body armor and picked up a loaded AK-47 with an 80-round drum. And his girlfriend, Connie Stasey, I think her name was. She stood there and kept reloading for him. And they poured round after round out the door. And Captain Chris McCurley was killed in the line of duty that day. And Gary Intrican, who I've met personally, Gary Intrican, he wound up losing a leg because of the injuries he sustained. Officers arrived on the scene, and right as literally Gary Intrican was laying on the ground, unable to further respond, he saw this guy, Peterson, walking out the door carrying his weapon and walking up and saying, "I'm going to take you out." And before he could kill Intrican while he laid on the ground, the responding officers were able to take down the assailant. That happened 25 years ago this year. And I remember distinctly one of the things that, I mean, it rocked our community. Rainbow City, Alabama doesn't have that kind of thing happen. It rocked the community. And I remember distinctly, too, at the time, a lady by the name of Mayor Sue Glidewell. She was the mayor of Rainbow City. And she took this personally. And she literally went out. I say she literally ordered the purchase of an AR-15 rifle for every member of her police force. Because she said her men would never be outgunned again. And I'm telling you, folks, we don't see that kind of leadership these days too often. So these men and women who do what they do every single day, and we have people that are calling for defund the police, alleging that there's systemic racism among the men and women in law enforcement. That's just crap. And I'm just going to tell you right now, this show will always, always back the blue. Are there good and bad people in the ranks of everything in the world? Certainly. There's bad accountants out there. There's bad lawyers out there. There's bad preachers out there. And certainly there's the occasional bad law enforcement officer out there. But you know what? 99.9% of them are just solid. And they're doing a job, and they're overworked and underpaid. And they don't do it because of the pay. They do it because it's what they're called to do. And if the day came that they weren't there, we would all sit up and take notice because we need them. All right, Copper, I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it on that. Back to blue, number two in the triple dipper. Let's go ahead and leave it at that. But folks, I'm just telling you, overworked, underpaid, and underappreciated by some, but not by this show. So you men and women in blue, thank you for what you do. By God, you are the backbone of our community. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.